Blog Talk Radio.
You are my protector, and you are my provider, and my deliverer. There's no other.
Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host this evening, Stevie R. Butler. This radio show is dedicated to spreading the truth of God's word, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're grateful that you are tuning into our radio broadcast this evening. This radio show is brought to you by loving and faithful members of the Churches of Christ. We would ask that you would take out your Bibles and study along with us. We have a very exciting show planned for your spiritual enlightenment and your edification. If you would like to contact us while we're on the air this evening, give us a call to the live show at 713-955-0508. If you have any questions or comments for any of my guests on the broadcast, you can send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. Or you can call me in the Carolina studio at 910-491-6405. Now again, this program is brought to you by members of the Churches of Christ. If you need any assistance in locating the congregation in your area, please feel free to contact us. Now, folks, get out your Bibles and study along with us here on What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler.
Love me again and again.
Radio broadcast. Stevie B's Media Production presents What a Word from the Lord radio show. I'm your host, Stevie R. Butler. And this radio show is being broadcast from the Carolina studio in the great state of North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, we are just grateful for the privilege to be able to bring you a program where we as Christians and members of the Church of Christ can share our faith and preach and teach the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on a weekly basis. So before we go into our program for this evening, I would ask that you would bow with me in a word of prayer that we may thank God for this opportunity. Our most kind, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for allowing us to go through the various activities of the day and placing it on our hearts that we are on this broadcast. And we are prepared now to present a portion of your holy and divine word. Father, we pray that you would be my special guest speaker, Jefferson Carruthers, on the show this evening. And we pray that you'll continue to bless his efforts to sow the seed of the kingdom and pray for his family as they support him as well. Father, we pray that you will be with our listeners on this evening. We pray that they may listen well and that they may consider their eternal stance before you and their hearts may be pricked. And they will ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Father, we thank you so much for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're so grateful for his precious sacrifice on Calvary's cross. For without such a sacrifice, we would not even have a hope of eternal life. Father, even now we ask that you would forgive us for the transgressions of our own heart. We know that our flesh is weak and we often fall short of your will. Father, we pray that you will continue to bless us, love us, and keep us all the days of our lives. And if we have been faithful until death, Father, we pray that you would save us. For it's in Christ's name we do ask it all. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning into the broadcast. In the first segment, my special guest speaker is Jefferson Carruthers. He's out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. He's the evangelist at the Carver Road Church of Christ. Now, my community corner guest that I had scheduled on this evening's show, I just got a message from them that they won't be able to make the show this evening, so we won't be doing the community corner on this evening's show, and then I'll be closing out the show with a lesson from the Word of God as well. So thank you for joining us on this evening. Open your Bibles now and open your minds, and let's have a great show. After the break, the next voice you hear will be that of my special guest, Jefferson Carruthers. Enjoy the show.
Lord, you know everything I've done, every thought I've had, you know everyone, and Lord, you know every time I fall, still you come to my rescue when I call. And Lord, you hear every idle word, every thoughtless deed, how it seems upset. That Lord, you give not what I am due, but mercy, you come to my rescue. You come to my rescue. You come to my rescue. Being there for my rescue. And Lord, I give all I can give, all of my heart, long as I shall live. So Lord, oh Lord, I just want to thank you for coming. For coming to my rescue, you come to my rescue. You come to my rescue. To my make it show. With every breath, gonna let you know.
I am accepting, though I can't comprehend
how I could be worth the cost when I was bound to fall. So Lord, Lord, I just wanna thank you.
I really wanna thank you
for coming,
for coming to my rescue.
You come to my rescue.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Now my special guest speaker, Jefferson Carruthers, and his subject, the right hand of fellowship and brotherhood unity.
All right, glad to be with you. I want to thank Brother Stevie Butler for his continued ministry and for his invitation to come and to share on this evening and to be with the children of God who are concerned about the faith that is in Christ Jesus and the mission that he gave us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I will be talking about the subject of the right hand of fellowship and church unity, those kinds of things on today. I'm going to be reading from Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 9 as an anchor text for this particular focus. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 9, the text reads, "And when James, Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." We're talking about the right hands of fellowship and church unity, as well as church autonomy in there, because that is one of the concerns that is balanced against unity today. That is, to what degree are we unified as opposed to how much autonomy we should magnify or insist upon as it relates to our fellowship in Christ Jesus. And we're going to discuss that a little bit today. Jesus, we must remember, share important insight, the nature of our relationships with one another as believers. Especially helpful are the assurances that he gives related to preachers and teachers involved in the progress of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The truth is that we have this great commission from Jesus to go into all of the world, and at the same time, we understand that not everyone is able to go. Everyone cannot leave home. Everyone cannot leave employment. Everyone cannot leave family to go and to teach all nations. But our mission is a global mission as well as a local mission. How then is one to be able to join in so important a calling as taking the gospel to all the world when everyone cannot physically go? Now, the persons that are in the text that we have looked at, Galatians chapter 2, involve Paul and Barnabas, Saul and Barnabas, at the time that Paul and or that Saul went on that first missionary journey to the Galatians, and then Peter, James, and John, who seem to be pillars in the church, James, the brother of the Lord. And these men, of course, were responsible for taking the gospel to both the Jews and the Gentiles throughout the Mediterranean world. Paul traveled through several provinces, Galatia being the first province on his first missionary journey. And then on his second missionary journey, we have him in Macedonia and Achaia. And that third journey, he spends the bulk of his time in Asia, or Ephesus in Asia. And at the same time that he is taking the gospel and that others are taking the gospel, they are establishing independent churches, while at the same time they're able to maintain a sense of globality and unity among those churches. And this is important today. Just as recently as today, there was an article in the Christian Chronicle talking about how much churches seem not to place emphasis on our unity as much as they do autonomy. And it was interviewing an article, the Cecil Mays family, and he was saying, one time dean of the College of Bible at Faulkner University, that there was a time in the past when various churches saw their mission as a mission that involved them collectively and not churches independently and individually so much, emphasizing their autonomy. And again, this is the reason we look at Paul's statement here that James, Cephas, and John gave to Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, signaling that the mission of taking the gospel to the Jews and or the circumcision and the mission of taking the gospel to the uncircumcision was a joint mission, that is a unified mission, whereas Paul would focus on his mission to the uncircumcised and James and Cephas and John to the circumcised. But they did not want to give the impression that they were dealing with just churches with no association with each other or congregations with no association with each other. And what we shall see is that as much as they recognize their autonomy, they recognize their unity by their right hand of fellowship. There are some churches that are known for their collective efforts to evangelize, and they come under a singular umbrella, and they're just known to do that under that particular rubric or umbrella. What comes to mind are churches like the one where during the summer the young men, you might see them in your community. They're riding bicycles and they have on white shirts, and they may have a pin on that says elder, usually associated with the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And one of the things they emphasize in that particular organization is that everyone should take a couple of years and join the mission of taking the gospel to the world. Another one that comes to mind, and you have met these, are Jehovah's Witnesses, who are known to be up early in the morning, used to be knocking in the neighborhoods. And I bring them up simply to say that when you think about them, you think about their mission efforts, and you think about them doing these things collectively and together. And these are things not necessarily to denigrate, but to admire among the among those particular groups. The question we ask is, when it comes to Churches of Christ, are we collectively involved in efforts to take the gospel to the world? And what I'm saying from a historical perspective, that perhaps was that perhaps in previous decades we were better at that than we are now. Churches demonstrate an understanding of the mission of Jesus when they seek to involve as many as possible in the spreading of the gospel. We ask again in Churches of Christ how God expects us, yes, not to become what we fear came together to form a church that had prominence over all churches on all continents, and these particular churches were under certain cardinals and prelates and bishops and the Pope, and persons are afraid of getting to that kind of organizational level. Christ had made their practice to make sure that church autonomy is taught and practiced in its fellowship. What they emphasize correctly is that there is no religious headquarters that hands down to the churches what their teaching should be, who their leaders are, such as preachers or bishops, pastors, deacons, and teachers. and what their priorities are for the year. Churches of Christ insist that it is for each congregation to decide its calendar, its priorities, its leaders, and its understanding of the Word of God. And there has been a lot of emphasis on what each congregation of believers is allowed to do. And this is what makes it difficult sometimes to get members to appreciate what Jesus expected of us universally, as well as what we do in our individual congregations. And again, what I'm dealing with is that there is a tendency for some to only emphasize the fact that we should be unified and sometimes at all costs. And there are others who emphasize autonomy so much that they cannot appreciate the unity that Jesus Christ brings. We often emphasize in our fellowship that Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and it is that time we go into a kind of grammatical analysis, and we say he said that he's going to build my church, which means that it is a possessor pronoun and it belongs to him. And so one might emphasize he said my church and not my churches, meaning that it would be one church, my church, his church is what it is. I'll build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And again, we emphasize one, but oftentimes in our practice of church autonomy, it's almost as if we're talking about thousands of churches rather than one church. We must remember, as members of the body of Christ, that Jesus did say, I will build my church. And yes, there are congregations and gatherings throughout the first century in different provinces. At the same time, the apostles and others and who traveled and preached and taught were able to give those churches a sense of collective mission in several areas. And it might be that we can help each other even today as the Church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if we would emphasize that the churches of God, the churches of Christ, churches that are filled with God's people ought to see themselves as one church who have a collective mission and seek to discover not just how those churches can individually serve the communities, but how we can affect the world together. In the context of Jesus sending out the 12 apostles to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, a limited commission, Jesus lets them know that they will be going from city to city. And the idea there in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 6, as well as Matthew 10 and 11, is that one city in some form or fashion is going to be connected to the next city by way of their observance of God and eventually faith in Christ Jesus. Some cities would be receptive, others would not. Jesus counsels in Matthew 10:23, but when they persecute you in this city, flee ye to another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel to the Son of Man become. That's Matthew 10:23. Jesus teaches them, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. In the same context, Matthew 10 and verse 32, here is unity among these people from city to city. In whatever city, what is going to be required is that men and women learn to confess Jesus before men, and those same men and women would be confessed before the Father who is in heaven. And from city to city, they are to perceive of themselves, they are to see themselves as one, as a unit, as people who become the family of God, the sheep of God, together. And again, not to be too repetitive, what we are discussing is that as much as churches are autonomous and as much as they are local, they are also to have a sense of unity, and they are to be global in the understanding of the impact of the churches of Christ. Jesus says further to them, he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. Matthew 10 and 40. Again, note that confessing Jesus before others is not the extent of our commending ourselves before God. It's also the ability to receive those who are carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now watch this. You have the apostles who are traveling, who will be traveling, and they're going from city to city. And they are not to think in terms of, well, in our city, we recognize this child of God. In the next city, we recognize another child of God. What Jesus says is, you will be going from city to city, and he that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. And so they are to understand that believers throughout the world are their brothers and sisters. They confess the same Lord that they confess. They ought to have some unity of thought in the mission that they are involved in. Even though they might not all be traveling and taking the gospel, they ought to understand that they are involved in a collective mission as the children of God. And I say again, in churches in previous decades seem to have had a better grasp on the effect and the power of being able to work with other congregations bent of taking the gospel to the world, as well as sharing information on building up churches. And I know often today what is popular to do is to talk about the DNA of a particular church and its community and what that community might need. But there is an overriding, overarching need of all people in every city, and a need for a Savior in every city, as well as the church in every city. And there is a mission that all churches should identify with, regardless of the peculiarities of that particular city. Let's say, for example, we are looking in the book of Galatians, and we know that there were issues in Galatia, but that even though there were issues in Galatia, there were common things that they could be a part of with a church, at least one church in Achaia, that is the church of Corinth. Well, how do we know this? Remember 1 Corinthians 16:1-2, many men learned this in training classes, and our ladies hear it again and again from the pulpit and in the classrooms. Now concerning the collection for the saints. The collection is for the saints who are in one province, Judea, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia. That's another province, and the churches of Galatia would be the churches of Pisidian, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. Now, concerning the collection for the saints who will be there in the city of Jerusalem, as I've given it order to the churches of Galatia, Pisidian, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, even so do ye, the church in Corinth. Now, watch this. Jerusalem had its issues, Galatia had its issues, and Corinth certainly had its issues. But Paul is not emphasizing their particular issues in each city, but what they could do collectively as the children of God. Well, what were the issues in Jerusalem? James explains to Paul when he finally does come to Jerusalem in Acts 21. He says, there are many Jews, and they are still zealous for the law. Now, these are zealous for the law. They've come to Christ Jesus, but they're still recognizing circumcision. They are still taking vows, and some of them are still offering up sacrifices. Now, that's their issue in Jerusalem. But Paul has admonished the church in Galatia, where there is a debate going on, where there are issues related to whether one is saved by recognition of law, or whether one should recognize that it's faith in Christ Jesus. Galatia had its issues with circumcision teachers. At the same time, however, though Galatia had this issue and Jerusalem had its issue, Paul encourages them to join in a mission together. Then we said Corinth, to which we've just referred in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, did it not have its issues? Here was a church where people were boasting about their spiritual gifts. Here is a church where men and women were not unified on the topic of and in the name of Jesus, but were talking about who they were baptized by, one of Paul, one of Cephas, one of Apollos. Here is a church that Paul says he would want to feed with meat, but they are on milk because they're not able to bear the teachings of Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Here is a church where a man has his father's wife, and rather than the church correcting this issue, they are puffed up. Here is a church where a brother is taking another brother to law in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Here is a church in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 where Paul has to give teachings on how to avoid fornication. Here is a church in 1 Corinthians 8 and 9 where they are emphasizing and boasting again about their ability to abstain from various things and where they were in the faith as far as their gifts were concerned, a church that Paul has to correct about where they stand and remind them that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that though they've come to God, they need to be careful, like the people who came out of Egypt needed to be careful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he's teaching them on prayer. He's teaching them on communion. In 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, what's happening is he's correcting their misapplication of gifts and telling them to do things decently and in order. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he's correcting teaching on the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians 16, where we are, he's encouraging them. He's encouraging them that though they have all of these problems, to join in an effort that originates in Galatia. So you have Galatia involved, you have Achaia involved, you have Judea involved, and we learn in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 that Macedonia was involved. Romans 16, 23 through 26 talks about the same thing. Now, why do I bring these things up? Churches today have a tendency to look at what they believe are issues in another church, and based upon the issues in that other church, they are refusing to extend the right hand of fellowship so that there might be unity. What they're saying is that each church is autonomous, but autonomy was never meant to be a divisive factor so that we did not understand that we have a joint mission and that we are brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, even though we don't gather at the same location. We are to be as much concerned about our unity as many are about our autonomy. But here's the thing about autonomy as well and the right hand of fellowship. Autonomy was not for the it does not have the intention of us being individual churches disconnected from all other churches of Christ. Autonomy simply emphasizes the thought that leaders in a particular congregation are chosen by that congregation. Those men who are leaders are to see to, rally to the needs of people who are part of that particular congregation. 1 Peter chapter 5, the elders who are among you, I exhort whom also an elder, that they're to feed the church of God among them. They have that responsibility to care for that those sheep who gather with that particular church. They are to watch for souls, Hebrews 13 and verse 17. And they involve themselves in choosing those leaders. But here's what the Bible does not teach, and that is that because a congregation chooses its leaders, because men care for the flock in that congregation, because they guard against false teaching, autonomy does not say, I then have the right to be unconcerned about the rest of the brotherhood of the churches of Christ, and that I can't participate with them based upon what I believe are those other churches' issues sometimes. Here again, that text in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 has several churches who have problems, who unify, who extend the right hand of fellowship to each other. Galatia, the churches, the cities with churches, Pisidian, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. That's four churches there. You take the churches of Macedonia. Paul is in Philippi first. He goes to Thessalonica. Then he goes to Berea. That's seven churches. And these churches aren't even necessarily in Galatia and Macedonia close to each other. But you have the churches of Galatia the Church of Macedonia, and you have the Church in Achaia, at least Corinth. There, here are eight churches, all of them with their issues, their concerns, but they join hands in fellowship for causes that concern the mission of Christ and the building up of the people of God. Churches in Galatia had elders. Remember, Paul on his return trip ordained elders in those churches. The church at Philippi had bishops and deacons. The church at Thessalonica, we are told, we read that they were encouraged to know them who labored among them and over them in the Lord. And so they had leadership, but leaders in those congregations, again, recognized that they were not solo. They were not alone. Their task was not to separate people. Their task, never, as Paul writes to the church at Asia, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's what their task was. They needed to do that. Would to God today, the churches of Christ would learn to extend hands of fellowship that allowed brothers and sisters who are in Christ Jesus, baptized into the possession of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, who recognize that Jesus, who have recognized that Jesus is Lord, that he's risen from the dead, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. What these churches who recognize hearing, recognize believing, recognize repentance, recognize confession, recognize baptism into Jesus Christ, recognize the promise of the Spirit and the seal of the Spirit upon the people of God. Would to God that they would appreciate what Jesus does for us as a whole and as a unit and as a church, as the church of Christ, and not so much emphasize all the time that we have the right to do what we do by ourselves and we're not much concerned about others. The universal mission of going into all the world is certainly what Paul had in mind when he writes to the Galatians. In his letter, he explains that his mission to the Gentiles is in partnership with the mission of other apostles and teachers in the kingdom, most notably the work of Peter, James, and John. He's saying, my work is in partnership with your work. These works are joined together. Don't miss the significance of Paul's teaching. Paul recognized that he was an apostle solely because Jesus had called him to be an apostle, Galatians 1, 15 through 17. His calling was not the result of other apostles commissioning him to preach Christ. At the same time, however, Paul recognized that his work was not isolated from the work of others in the kingdom. He did indeed see the importance of Peter, James, and John understanding his mission and extending to him the right hand of fellowship. Watch this. Paul says he did receive his gospel of men. It's not of men. He not really concerned himself with who was seen as big people in the church, but he saw it important. He believed it important that though Jesus called him to be an apostle, that his commission came solely from Jesus, that it was important that he have fellowship with Peter, James, and John. And just as we said, would to God our churches that emphasize these teachings would recognize our universality, our globality, recognize our unity, would they would do that. Would to God that preachers and elders understood and would understand that it doesn't take genius to keep people divided, but it takes the Spirit of God to teach people to be unified and to extend the right hand of fellowship to people who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and are seeking to right, walk upright to the glory of God. It was important, as we near close, for the Galatians to know that their understanding of the gospel was not the result of one man giving them a special understanding of Jesus in an autonomous setting. That is, they were not to believe that Paul could teach to them doctrines that were not universally accepted and practiced. All believers are expected to see their fellowship with all other believers. And let us acknowledge that it is not simply an observance that we all believe in Jesus. It includes a willingness to universally do things to build the kingdom. Paul and Barnabas focused on a mission to the Gentiles, but Paul also taught Jews. Let us note how Paul understood that it was important that his mission be understood by others. He writes, "And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision." Paul writes that he and Barnabas were given the right hands of fellowship. No, Paul did not have a special mission understood by himself and Barnabas alone. His mission was a part of the collective mission of the kingdom of God. It was not simple acknowledgement of belief, but a willingness to partner in kingdom priorities. Paul says, "Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I was also forward to do." Galatians 2 and 10. Ladies and gentlemen, the right hands of fellowship is something that we should be extending today. We ought to be emphasizing our unity. We recognize our autonomy. But we're one church with one mission. We're one people. We are brothers and sisters. We need to find a way to celebrate what God has done for us in the church through his Son, Jesus Christ, even as he leads us and comforts us by his Holy Spirit. We thank you today, and we trust that God will continue to give us a spirit of unity, a willingness to extend to each other right hands of fellowship so that we may glorify God. Again, we thank you.
Oh,
From the Lord Radio Show. These are the announcements for the events and activities in the Churches of Christ. If you'd like to have your events or activities announced on this broadcast, please give me a call at the Carolina Studio at 910-491-6405 or send me an email to srbutler1009@yahoo.com. The Newburgh Church of Christ, located in Louisville, Kentucky, is currently seeking a full-time minister, so please submit all inquiries to thenewburghcoc@gmail.com. Candidates will be forwarded a job description and application packet. Completed applications should be submitted along with the candidate's resume, references, doctrinal philosophy, and a sample audio or video recording of a sermon. On August the 4th through the 9th, 2019, the Northside Church of Christ will be the official host of the 2019 Florida State Lectureship of the Churches of Christ in conjunction with the Jacksonville, Florida congregations. On November the 30th through December the 1st, 2018, the 34th Annual Ladies Conference will be held at the Southside Church of Christ, and that address is 800 Ellesmere Avenue, Durham, North Carolina, 27707. And the theme will be The First Things First, Matthew 6:33. Mission Possible. The keynote speaker will be Mary Carter from the Gold Hill Church of Christ. For more details, visit the website at www.sside.org. On March the 21st through the 24th, 2019, the Millennial Reach Collaborative presents God's Plan Millennial Reach Conference, and that address will be the Marriott Miami Airport at 1201 Northwest Lejeune Road, Miami, Florida, 33126. For more information or for registration, visit their website at www.reach.com or give them a call at 228-331-3324. On January the 20th through the 24th, 2019, the New Golden Heights Church of Christ will be hosting the 43rd Annual Ministers Institute, and the theme will be The Case for the Holy Spirit. And that address is 2051 Northwest 31st Avenue, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33311. For more information, please call 954-735-2907. On December the 3rd and the 4th, 2018, the Newburgh Church of Christ will be hosting their homecoming, and their theme will be From Glory to Glory. And that address is 4700 East Indian Trail, Louisville, Kentucky, 40216. Telephone numbers 502-966-5171. And the guest speaker will be Des Anderson, and there'll be a concert held on Saturday featuring Genesis Archer and live from Jacksonville, Florida. On November the 25th through the 29th, 2018, the 9th Annual Gulf Coast Sound Lectureship, Sound Doctrine Lectures. And the theme will be Behold, He Cometh, Revelations 1:7. And that address is the Church of Christ at the Sheraton North Houston, 15700 JFK Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77032. For more information, contact Robert Hopper at telephone number 832-434-3377. There will also be live streaming each night for this lecture. And just a programming announcement, programming reminder, Steve B's Media Production Presents. We're airing live shows here on Blog Talk Radio. The first Monday of each month, we're airing a special edition of the Gospel Light radio show, and the subject matter will be those subjects that have been selected from our listeners. Then on Tuesday night each week from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, What a Word from the Lord radio show. And each week we will have a guest speaker who will be presenting lessons from the Churches of Christ. This will be brethren from the Brotherhood of the Churches of Christ who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. We also have the Community Corner segment, and that segment is for small business owners and entrepreneurs who have products and services for our communities. And also my co-host, Edward Bishop from Niagara Falls, New York. He'll be presenting a lesson on this show every other week. Also on Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, the Gospel Light radio show. And on this show, I have 8 co-hosts who will be presenting lessons from the Word of God. And each week, I have 2 of my co-hosts who will be on the air with me. I'm also taking questions from my Shout It Out platform on social media, Facebook, and I'll be posing 2 of those questions to my co-hosts during the show. Also on Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 to 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, I'll be hosting a live show, Stevie B's Acapella Gospel Music Blast Radio Show. And the first week, not the first week, but we'll be having on this broadcast the Story Glory segment, where I'm interviewing artists. We'll be debuting new music, featuring old music. My daughter, Tati B, she'll be co-hosting the show. She'll be doing the whole playlist. I'm also doing my Top 20 Countdown show. And once a quarter, we'll be doing the Marathon Show. That's a 3-hour show for whatever artist or group that we're featuring on that show. We'll just be playing their music besides my song of the week and my monthly triple spin. If you are an artist and you have music that you want me to play on my radio shows, just send me your MP3 formatted track via Dropbox. And my email address is srbutler1009@yahoo.com. You can now listen to all my shows, on-demand episodes, through my affiliate internet stations, through Spotify, through iHeartRadio, through Apple iTunes, through acaradio.net, through iWay Radio, through mccbroadcasting.com, through ibcbroadcasting.com, through YouTube. Go to YouTube, to my YouTube channel, Steve R. Butler, a.k.a. Stevie B, and you'll be able to see the on-demand episodes. You can also go to the Church TV Network and see their playlist, Acapella Radio, and that'll bring you to the on-demand episodes. And also go to my website, Spreaker.com. That's Spreaker.com. And type my name in the search bar, Stevie R. Butler, and that'll bring you to all my on-demand episodes. I also want to thank my sponsors for sponsoring this broadcast, Sharon Norwood. She lives in Chicago, Illinois, and her company is called Organo, and their slogan is a health product for healthier living. And Yvonne Blazing Cracker Duke, she lives in Nashville, Tennessee. Certainly appreciate them sponsoring this show. The 3 E's of Stevie B's Media Production. It is the objective of this broadcast. We want to educate, we want to edify, and we want to encourage you. And that will conclude our announcements.
I know. My hand is in yours.
why I'm glad. I said I'm glad I know you, Lord. I'm so glad you know me, Lord. I'm glad you know me, Lord. We wanna give you the praise.
What a Word from the Lord radio show. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Community Corner segment. This is one of my favorite segments because I just like to hear what people are doing in service to our community. Now, this original guest that I had scheduled for tonight, they had to cancel their segment. And I reached out to my homeboy, Darrell Ray Davis from High Point, North Carolina. He's a representative from Legal Shield. And he has been on this show a number of times, and I certainly appreciate his willingness to come and fill in for tonight, because that brother, he has some great business that he's doing with Legal Shield, and he just loves what he's doing. You can tell in his presentation that he really enjoys what he's doing. Hey, my brother, appreciate you coming in the Community Corner on the broadcast tonight.
Well, I thank you there, Mr. Butler. Can you hear me clearly?
I hear you just fine.
All right. Well, listen, first of all, I want to thank you for allowing me to be on the call tonight.
All right, brother. It's all yours.
All right, I thank you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, hey, we are homeboys, and we serve together in the United States military. And you know, Steve's doing a great thing. He's got a great thing going with his Blog Talk radio show. Great music, great spiritual inspiration. And tonight, I'm not going to be with you guys long. We're only going to talk about my company for a few minutes. But some of the things that I want to get across is, you know, in today's world, the life that we know, it evolves every decade. But the question is, are you evolving along with that? You know, there used to be a time when a handshake was solid gold. You couldn't get out of it. But in today's world, a handshake doesn't mean anything. So now, you know, documents are needing to be signed to make it binding, a binding contract. And what my company does is we've got a lot of things that we do as far as helping people protect their legal rights. So I'm just going to go through some of the things that we do, and then I'm going to go into the identity theft. I'm going to be with you about 7 or 8 minutes because I'm going to be real quick. Now, one of the things that we offer here at Legal Shield is personal legal advice on an unlimited number of matters at no cost to you. Right? So that's just one of the things. You know, collectively, the money that we collect through our monthly membership allows us to pay our law firms a lot of money to offer that particular service. So now you don't have to worry about calling the NIM, you know, Mama NIM, Uncle NIM. You can now call your attorney, and your attorney can give you great legal guidance when it comes to legal advice. Next thing we do is offer letters and phone calls to be written on your behalf. You know, it's funny to me how somebody can do something real small to us that, about something that means so much to us, and because the cost of getting an attorney costs so much, we let it go. Well, at Legal Shield, we'll write letters and make phone calls on your behalf if our attorneys feel that it's in your best interest, once again, at no cost to you. We review contract and documents for you. Listen, people now are buying houses, leasing cars, buying cars. The signature is required for a lot of these things, but here's the problem. An attorney wrote up that contract, just not your attorney. So now you can have your attorney review any contract or document before you sign it to make sure it's in you and your family's best interest before you do that. IRS audit assistance. You know, now you don't have to go into an audit with a federal agent and feel really, you know, bad about it because you have a legal counsel there with you to advise you on what questions to answer and what questions not to answer. And if a question is even legal or not to ask you at that moment, we provide you with that, okay? Civil trial defense. We know that people get married, but then people quit marriage. People quit so much today. They quit jobs, sports teams. They just quit. So now if you're getting sued, which everybody can sue anybody now in America, you want to make sure you got the right representation to show up. All right? And Legal Shield is going to give you 60 hours placed in your legal defense fund from the moment you sign your membership with us. And we're going to add 60 hours a year so you max out after 5 years at 300 hours. Then we're going to give you family domestic services such as uncontested divorce, adoption, separation, name change, things that don't normally happen daily. But now you don't have to worry about the cost as long as it stays uncontested. You file the papers, and Legal Shield will take care of the attorney fee. Then one of my favorite, you know, because I'm guilty of this one, is the traffic assistance for speeding tickets. Now, when you get a speeding ticket, you know, once you get your ticket from the officer, you can simply take your ticket, and on your phone, we've got an app. You just take a picture of the ticket, enter the court date, and send it to Legal Shield. Between 8 and 16 business hours later, an attorney is going to contact you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this covers you no matter where you are in the United States. It's not a license to speed, but it's good to know that if you do get a ticket anywhere, then you can have legal representation in that jurisdiction to go to court for you. That is a real big plus. And the one thing that we just don't want to talk about, will preparation. You know, they say that 70% of Americans don't have a will. And in the minority community, 90% don't have a will. But guess what? 10 out of 10 of us are going to be checking out of here one day. And you don't want to leave your legal assets behind for your family to fight over or get in a crisis because you didn't dictate where you wanted it to go. So she is going to prepare a free will to you at no cost, a living will, health care power of attorney, financial power of attorney comes along with that. And then you, once again, now you can have peace of mind knowing that you left your family behind in a great, great position. And then the other part of our program is our identity theft program. You know, listen, identity theft is the one crime. In America, if you kill someone, you're innocent until you're proven guilty. But when it comes to identity theft, it's the totally opposite. You're guilty until proven innocent. Isn't that strange? We're going to, you know, there's many types of identity theft, tax return, medical claims, Social Security claims, credit, criminal character. So we're going to monitor a lot of things for you. We're going to monitor your credit score, Social Security number, passports, and a host of other things, social media and website surveillance. Why are we going to monitor those things for you? Because if we can monitor them for you and alert you when something goes on, you can go on and live your life without having to worry about your identity being stolen. And if it is stolen, we're going to provide you with a licensed private investigator who's going to do whatever it takes, as long as it takes, to restore your identity back to pre-theft status. And what does that cost? You know, an individual plan is only $34.90 a month. You know, I've seen people go out and buy a pair of shoes for over $100. But those shoes were out after 3 months. Your Legal Shield membership is for life. And a family plan where you can cover up to eight kids, you and your wife, on your Identity Shield and Legal Shield together, that's going to cost you $49.99, so you're still getting a great deal. And then we also offer our members member perks. Well, we've got over 450 stores that allow us to offer our members discounts. This Christmas, I'm doing so much shopping through my members' perks because the rates are still cheaper than what I'm seeing on Black Friday and Cyber Monday. So it's a great way. And then we do offer a financial opportunity for you if you want to come on board and create some additional income for you and your family. You know, there's an extra $300 to $1,000 a month. Extra six figures a month, a year. It just depends on where you are in your life. So, ladies and gentlemen, I told you I wasn't going to be long. I'm getting ready to go in and do a presentation now. I always love to help my brother Steve Butler out because he's been so good to me. But I want to leave you with this. In the world that we live in, a handshake is no longer a binding contract. You have to have something that's in writing. And you want to make sure that what you put in writing is going to benefit you and your family. Legal Shield's object is to help you create income also so that money becomes an option and not an issue. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to turn it back over to Mr. Butler. I appreciate you having me on tonight, sir. And you guys have a great night. Good night tonight.
Hey, thank you, Darryl Ray, for coming on the show, man. Appreciate you.
Absolutely.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuning in to What a Word from the Lord. I have a lesson after the break. Stay tuned.
When God says no, and we won't accept him to the end,
just remember,
don't forget,
Father knows, what's best. When I lay awake at night, with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember,
God,
he
knows,
what's best. Midnight hour, I was crying and all alone, waiting for an answer. All my hope's gone. I even called on my best friend, and she could not be found. Lord, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, where are you now? So I went to church the next Sunday morning, looking for my breakthrough. I knew a change would come if I just hold on, 'cause God's word is true. But then the preacher said something, and it took me by surprise. Sometimes God says no, but just like Job, you gotta trust him. When God says no, but when the preacher said it, I didn't quite understand it. He said, don't forget, just trust your Father, 'cause he knows what's best. When I lay awake in the middle of the night, with tears streaming from my eyes, I remember, Father knows. Going God, 'cause he knows,
God,
Father knows what's best. And I started to feel a little better, 'cause he started talking about my Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how he prayed to the Father, let this cup pass from me. Then he did just like me, y'all. Said he went to his best friend, and his friends let him down. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where are you now? You see, sometimes God is moving, and we don't understand. See, Jesus paid the cost when we were lost, and it was all a part of God's master plan. So when you're Just go ahead and shout.
Hey,
and have no doubt.
I'll trust your
that the Father knows
hey,
more than you. When God says no.
No,
no, no, no, no.
He
is not a man that walketh to direct his own steps. That's why I'm trusting in your Father. So when I prayed for that job, and I never get the call. And you prayed for that sick loved one, and they've gone on to that eternal
home.
And when you cried and you prayed and you cried, and you feel there's nothing left, just put it in the hands of the Father. And remember, no matter what it is or what it looks like, God, He knows. Yes,
He knows what's.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, I just have a few thoughts for your consideration on the broadcast this evening. I want to discuss the subject, is the church a business? Is the church a business? I heard a story from a preacher, a brother of mine, Brother Manziel. He said a few years ago he was sitting in the church office when the phone rang, and he greeted the caller and identified the congregation by name. And a female voice abruptly said, "Is this a business?" Brother Manziel said, "No, this is a church." So the lady hung up. In that moment, Brother Manziel realized the problem afflicting so many churches. Far too many churches have indeed become businesses and have left the Lord. 3 points I want to share with you on this subject. Is the church a business? First, the gospel is not a marketable product. This is not the same as saying that the gospel should not be delivered to a lost and dying world. We are commanded to preach the word, to be ready in season and out of season, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Moreover, we are to carry this message to the entire world, as Brother Carruthers talked about in his lesson in the first segment of the broadcast. And that scriptural reference can be found in Matthew 28, verse 18 and 20, and Mark 16, and verse 15 and 16. In the publishing world, books and magazine covers sell more copies than the names of authors. The gospel of Christ must not be reshaped and repackaged so it's more palatable to the consumers. If we do, we begin to view the Bible as a marketing firm would and begin to ask the wrong questions. Instead of asking how we can better deliver the message, we ask which parts of the message will be accepted by the consumer. Our doctrine becomes a theological buffet table where the customers is always right. If a department store has a policy, price, or procedure customers dislike, they consider changing it. From this idea comes the community church concept, where instead of going chapter to chapter, we go door to door to determine our doctrine and worship practices. In Psalms 119, verse 89, the Bible says, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." In Isaiah 66 and verse 5, the prophet says we should tremble rather than twinkle with his word. We never have the right to presume that scriptures is no longer relevant. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says it is a living and powerful. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 and 17 says it is profitable and complete. The second point I'd like to give you on this subject, is the church a business? Is that profit is not our motive. You hear what I said? Profit is not our motive. In the business world, the only thing that ultimately matters is profit. And everything is designed to obtain that goal. In a store, the colors, designs, layouts, and sounds are all market tested in order to please the consumer. Our worship cannot be marketed driven so that it touches the senses rather than the mind and soul. In other words, people are stimulated but not saved. Which brings us to the third point of this lesson, is the church a business? That is, we cannot have two sets of rules. For example, some businesses will have one set of rules for their biggest customers and another set for everyone else. They will bend the rules for big spenders, but churches do this far too often. We will look at those who contribute the most and cater to them, to their whims, no matter how silly, and overlook their sins, so they will keep writing those checks. Then everyone else knows they will be held to a different standard because they can't buy their privileges. No doubt God is disgusted that this is practiced in the Lord's church. God shows no partiality, and neither should we. Acts 10, verse 34, and James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. No doubt, ladies and gentlemen, this is a hard to listen to for many people. Yet God did not send his son here to be popular, but to save souls. We are to love all men and change the attitudes and doctrines that have that which we have, which are contrary to God's will. But our motivation better never be to make the gospel more plausible to the taste of men. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Amen. And I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Beautiful Lamb of God, guiltless and pure as snow, gentle and merciful. Beautiful Lamb of God, sent from the
but
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. This is the part of the broadcast where I want to extend the invitation of the Lord. If you are not a child of God, and one cannot be a child of God until you are a Christian, until you have been born again, as the Bible teaches, then you are lost outside of Christ. You're not lost 100 years from now. Ladies and gentlemen, you're lost right now. It's not enough to be religious. You must obey the commands of the Lord. In order for a man to be saved, you must take heed and answer the gospel call. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. You must hear the gospel. John chapter 6 and verse 45, Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 17. And the facts of the gospel are the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. You must believe the same. Hebrews 11, 6 and James chapter 2 and verse 24. You must repent. Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5. Acts chapter 17 and verse 30. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. You must be baptized in water for the remission or the forgiveness of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Acts 10, verse 48. And 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21. And if you are a Christian and you have not been faithful in your service to God, we want you to decide again in repentance and prayer, Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. And we want to encourage our listeners to visit the Church of Christ in your area. Amen. And I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Don't worry about me. brother, don't worry.
Don't worry.
I don't want you to worry about
me.
Oh, don't worry.
Don't worry.
Don't worry about
me.
Mama, don't you worry.
Don't worry.
Sister,
don't you worry.
Don't worry.
Don't you worry.
Don't worry.
Don't worry.
You're listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for spending a little time with us this evening in a study of God's Word. I want to thank my special guest speaker, Jefferson Carruthers. He always does a great job in his proclamation of the gospel of Christ, and I certainly appreciate him for his efforts and his ministry as well. I also want to thank my special guest in the community corner, my homeboy, Daryl Ray Davis. He's a representative of Legal Shield, and Daryl is always on call, and I certainly appreciate his willingness to come on the show when I call for him. I certainly appreciate it. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to this broadcast as well. And this is my prayer that these lessons that you heard and the messages, the things that you heard on this broadcast has been beneficial to your spiritual lives, and your relationship with the Lord has been strengthened because you're not only tuning into this broadcast, but you've given yourself over to a study of God's Word. So until we meet again, I pray God's continual blessings upon your lives, and that he bless you real, real good. Good night, everybody.
God can.
Oh,
God can.
I don't know what
you
you're going through right now.
What you
but I'll admit it, y'all. The struggle is real. And sometimes our faith it gets a little weak.
God can.
But over the years, y'all, I've
God
found out.
Can.
So we don't have to worry ourselves about it, y'all. So I just keep telling myself these two words: God can, God can, my God, He can. Oh, tried Him and I know, no. Said I know He could do it for me right now. There's a time in every life. Trouble comes, then we stop and wonder why.
Yeah.
Especially when you're trying to do the right thing. Can I get a witch? Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Why this tears and why this pain?
Lord,
my soul is weak. I need some things to change. So I'm calling on you, Lord, Lord. Then I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to my situation. Dry your eyes, it's all right. God always supplies your needs. So I put my trust in thee, cause I know you can. Oh, God, but I know you can. Got all power in His hands.
Oh,
you gotta trust and believe.
Trust and believe.
You gotta have faith to
receive.
You gotta know you can,
Lord.
And even in your darkest hour, when you can't see your way through, see, I know you thought it was over, but I can see the sun peeping through the clouds. But I know. I know He can, Lord, 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 He can. Y'all, He can do anything.
Great, unmerited favor. Standing here by God's power.
Peace
and constant understanding, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
myself.
Y'all, and I found out that
you be all able to be.
So no matter what it looks like, God is big, God is greater, God is able. Yes, he is, yeah.
Above all you can ask or think, remove that thing from your heart. Give your life a brand new start. You know he can. Every now and then, we like to sit around the house and just reminisce about the time in our life. Hey, but we didn't know what to do. We didn't know which way to go. Didn't know which way to turn. No.
And the mountains seemed so high.
I remember. Didn't know how to get over.
Said we were deep down in the valley of despair.
But let me tell you what we did. So we went down on our knees. Said, Father, help us, please. We need your strength and power right here this very hour. We need a living
hand
with a steady hand. Oh, I'm a living testimony that God is here. That I know that he can.
You've been listening to What a Word from the Lord radio show, episode 97.
Can you see the star in the sky?
Filled with hay in a barn. When the time came for my Savior to be born, Mary and Joseph were a long way from home, but she gave birth that day to the man who would save us in the end. There was no life for a sinner man like me. But Mary and Joseph couldn't know. They gave birth to the one, our Lord and Savior, God's only begotten Son. That's what they told them. No, there was Lord, today.